Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God, with joy in our hearts. We come, Lord God, Holy Spirit, would you anoint and speak through me this morning, Lord God. Lord, I'm incapable of doing this without you, Lord, and so, God, I rely on you heavily. And Father, we ask, Lord God, as we step into this new season, we thank you for this artistic expression of a new season for us, Lord God. And Jesus, we say, let your will be done in our lives. All God's people said, amen. We're starting a new series called Cleanse. As we launch into 2019, I think this is a great way for us to start health and wholeness of body, soul, and spirit. Because you know we are made up of three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Our direction, as we've said over the last week or two, is a one of faith and courage, and we want to position ourselves at every moment we have to step into this new season with confidence, not in ourselves so much, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, which will give us confidence ourselves. We want to have faith and courage to step out of the boat and to walk on water. I mean, if that doesn't scare you or excite you, then we're going to do a raise the dead service afterwards, and you can come and we'll lay hands and raise the dead. But we want you to be all in. I think we've said it enough. To step out of the boat, get your feet wet. Cleanse is a means of assisting us to get rid of the things, the baggages that we've carried in our lives, and prepare ourselves for positioning ourselves and purposing to see of the more of God freedom session. And Lord God, that we would continue to be free in you. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, don't ever say I don't support and punt ministries. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 14. There's some lengthy scripture, so I'm going to break it down a little bit. We understand that the second letter to the Corinthian church. So let's just back up. The Corinthian church, yeah, don't put that up just yet, please, because otherwise everyone's reading, they're not listening to me. So the Corinthian church were a bit of a mess. Yeah, we read scripture and we read the Bible and we think, oh, what a bunch of cool dudes they were. No, they weren't. They were actually a bunch of messed up people trying to get their lives together, trying to get things working. And the second letter is a letter of repentance to holiness. And Paul, it's also Paul's defense of his apostleship because they went, well, who are you? And so Paul had to, in a sense, defend his apostleship. At verse 14, it starts just above it in my Bible anyway, which is the ESV. It says, the temple of the living God. And before that, the little break in the thing was a ministry of reconciliation. So if you, we need to take scripture in context, and I'm saying all of that to say that. So let's start reading 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord or harmony has Christ with Belial, one of Satan's names? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Now, when we read scripture like this, we have to be careful because I can only talk about my life experiences and sometimes what I've been taught. And most people will immediately go, there you go, that's the scripture when Christians should marry non-Christians. That's it. And that's a very narrow version of what that scripture means. And so it's good advice, of course. And we need to not take scripture out of context and don't make it mean something it was never intended to mean. Thank you. Theologically, this piece of scripture is understood to mean some things should not be mixed together. Okay? And to preserve, the reason for that is to preserve the proper working order of God and His view and how we should. And this stems from, and you can go and do your own reading, from Deuteronomy chapter 22 and from Leviticus chapter 19. And what it really says is don't plow with an ox and a donkey. Don't put an ox and donkey together too. Don't sow vineyard with a different or second kind of seed. Don't wear clothes made of wool and linen woven together. Paul is making great overarching distinctions here when using the phrase of being unequally yoked together. he is pointing out more so that there is a conflict of interest stemming from incompatibility and incompatible loyalties to the King Jesus. That's it. And he's not writing this letter and saying, go and give it to all your sinners and friends out there. He's going, no, I'm writing it to you, the church. And often people will proof text this as I said and say, ha-ha, there we go. Don't get involved in non-Christians in business. Well, most of you then should probably resign. Don't give marriage to unbelievers and don't actually associate with them. And I grew up in a denomination like that. Because you can't mix with the world. Then one reads further on in the Gospels, you wonder, well, what was Jesus doing? And you realize he was mixing with the world. But he was keeping himself separate to his Father. And what I'm saying here, these are not heaven and hell issues. If you do marry an unbeliever, if you're already married to one, then you're married to one, okay? And we pray. Well, three results are going to happen. Number one, they're going to get saved. Number two, you're going to fall away. And number three, you're going to carry this cross for the rest of your life. Those are just realities. This is like, oh, I don't know what it is. But it's if you're really saved and you marry an unsaved person, then you do that. I would not suggest you do it, but hey, that's just me. So what this really applies to environment, we allow the world to influence our thinking, and hence why Paul then goes on and asks these pertinent questions. And I just love, he doesn't use the same word all the time. What has partnership in righteousness and lawlessness got to do with each other? And you know the answer. What fellowship have light and darkness got to do with each other? What accord, or other Bibles, harmony. What harmony do Jesus and the devil have? What portion does a believer have with an unbeliever? What agreement is the temple of God and idolatry got to do with each other? It's not about law, legalism, or a list that we tick off. You know, so, well, we should behave like the world so they can see we're normal. That is the most inane, stupid idea I've ever heard in my life. Can I just say stuff, or do you want me to catch it in so many terms that you walk away going, well, I don't understand what he meant? The reason behind all this is the Corinthian church still had this tendency to attempt to blend Christian worship and pagan worship. Ostensibly, what I'm saying is they like to say, we're Christians on the inside, but then on the outside, we like to actually go and dabble and do what the world does. That's what they were saying. The thought that came to my mind, and I know no one in this church, of course, because weed is now almost, it's now legal. Okay, let's go and smoke weed now. That's inane and stupid. Thank you, Janine. Chris is whispering stuff to me as well. I can't hear. Yeah. The attitude seemed to be we can be spiritual inside, but on the outside we can do the pagan lifestyle. Paul is saying you can't mix the two. It's like oil and water. They ethically, what you say and do ethically really matters if you say you're a Christian. Because if you've grown up and you've been a Christian a while, you will realize that non-Christians know exactly more how you should behave than actual fact how we do behave and how they behave. Well, you say you're a Christian and you do that stuff. You say you're a Christian and you speak like that, etc., etc., etc. Paul's saying we can't mix the two. Dogs and cats may often associate and even live together, but they can never assimilate together because otherwise you'll end up with a cog or a dat. We either fall in love with this list of rules and then we fall into legalism, or we revert back to the Corinthian view, which was postmodern relativism, which actually means that, well, whatever you want to do, we can just do it. And then we have to understand that we're in 1 Corinthians, he spoke about all the gifts and we being the party, and he spoke about all in and all the good stuff. And then in chapter 13, he says, let me explain to you, it's all about love. Well, I love my sin. No, that's not what he's saying at all. We need to say, this really is about what separates us from the unclean stuff that cleanses us. Next verse, Corinthians 6:16. For we are the temple of the living God. What do all the above have in fellowship and harmony and partnership and portion and agreement with one another? Because we are God's temple. The reality, and I've said this before, so I'm just going to drum it home again, buildings are not holy. This is not a holy place. People are holy. We are the holy ones. Well, I wonder if the Holy Spirit will be here today. Did you walk in the front door? Yes. Are you saved? Yes, then the Holy Spirit's here. Because He walked in with you. He came in with you when you arrived here. In the new covenant, we are His dwelling place. And that's why I've said this is not a sanctuary. This is an auditorium. A nicely, brightly painted auditorium that keeps us warm today and cool in winter and summer and keeps the rain off us, and so we can sit in comfort and our chairs don't get messed up. Amen. The tabernacle and the temple structure, Old Testament into the New Testament, design was for God's dwelling place. The tent in the desert was God's prayer. But if you look at it, it always made the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Body, soul, and spirit. The outer court, the body, is available to anybody and everybody. The inner court, the mind and soul, is the private place with our thoughts and our minds. The Holy of Holies, the spirit man, the word communes with the Spirit of God and it lives with it. If you can see the similarities from there old to new. And then Paul goes on and he says, God's dwelling place is with us in every moment. He then quotes from Old Testament, Leviticus 26:12 and Ezekiel 37:27. He says in 2 Corinthians 6:16, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It reverts to the holy of holy places. That's why in 2 Peter we read that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are, because of the righteousness of God, we are the temple of the living God. We're happy for our auditorium, and we are the sanctuary in our auditorium, if I could put it that way. The presence was shown over in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant. One day we'll preach about that stuff. But God's declaration is that we can see all these incompatibilities are mentioned. God's promise is, if you get rid of these incompatibilities in your life, I will dwell with you. I will make my dwelling place with you. I will come in and be with you. So the question is how do we do this? Oh, I did mention that the title was Spirit Cleanse. Wow. A person like me misses that. Anyway, how do we do this? 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, go out from their midst. You see, that's the way we don't mix with people anymore. We don't with them. No. That's not what that's saying. That's proof texting just to make you feel comfortable. And be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean things. Three promises that will be fulfilled. Then I will welcome you. Then I will be a father to you. And then you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And he references back into Old Testament again. You see, as I've said, if we want to understand the message of grace and believe in grace and stand on grace, we have to know what was happened in the Old Testament. We can't just cut it off and say, oh, well, that's the Old Testament now. The point is that God wants a deep, intense relationship with us. He wants a partnership of yoking, of a deep togetherness with His sons and daughters, our royal priesthood. That those that are called by my name, he genuinely wants to be our father. He loves being our father. He's saying, I want to have this intense relationship with however you are making it difficult for me. Because you keep doing all this other stuff. We want to step out and walk on water. We want to see the supernatural. We want to see the new season. We want to walk, well, I trust we do. I do. And I know we had a leadership meeting the other day, and the leaders all do. I trust I don't have to convince you that you're going, absolutely, why wouldn't we want to do that? God wants to have this intense, deep relationship with us But we cannot when we have divided loyalties. When we keep taking things that aren't there and making them things. When things in our lives are unclean things that prevent us from this abundant life that he has for us. He says, come out from the world, separate to me. And what he's saying is, analyze your life, separate yourselves from the things that shouldn't be there. Well, I'm just not going to meet with non-Christians anymore because the Bible says so. No, it never ever says that. These are not heaven and hell issues. If you've given your life to Jesus, that is great. That's wonderful. The question is, how close are you to God versus how close are you to the world? Remember in Titus we did that, no separation between sacred and secular, family, church, work, rest. It's all the same. It's all one. We're all one. And then Paul goes on and he says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, since we have these promises, beloved, I love the language, beloved, my special brothers and sisters, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. So what promise is he to? Well, he's reiterating from the Old Testament, the thing, go out, be separate, touch no unclean thing. How hard is that? The results will be, you'll be welcomed by God, he'll be a father to us, and we are called his sons and daughters. I can't think of anything better. I mean, I know the song, this is my story, this is my song. Some of the young people, you probably don't even know how old that song is. That was around before me. But isn't that a powerful song? This is my story. You can't see my face. I'm laughing, I'm smiling, the tears are rolling down my cheek. I'm so excited. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. What a privilege, what an opportunity. God is good. So here's something that's interesting, that God wants to be connected, so we get to cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness for the completion of God. So here's the thing. Lord, please cleanse me. That's the wrong prayer. Now, Kevin has been on quite a bit, and some have been on a bit. Choices. We get to make choices. See, God is not doing the cleansing. We are doing the cleansing. They are our choices to cleanse. You can go home from here today and go, yeah, okay, it was nice, but yeah, no, I'll just carry on with my life. Or we can take to heart, because we're going to put some feet to the message towards the end here. It's so that we can be yoked with God in completion together with him. Jesus even stated, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We can get yoked in with Jesus, him and the Father yoked in, and we are the beneficiaries of that. The problem is that as time goes on, I know when you got saved, you were cleansed. Please don't confuse what I'm saying. You were cleansed. You were forgiven for all your sins. You take all your unrighteous acts were gone as filthy rags. Now you're washed in the blood of Jesus, all that good stuff. However, as life goes on, our memories fade sometimes of that stuff. And then we get involved in stuff, and we do stuff, and we go, and then we end up part of what all the stuff I read before. But we now have to consider, how close do we get to walk with God? This should be an aha moment for us, because we're going to talk about spirit, body, and soul as the weeks go on. We determine how much God is going to work in and through us, and from that, get rid of everything that defiles us. How do we know this? I'm so glad you asked. Psalm 132, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Reading from it. This is David, the king, David, king of this amazing nation, a guy who has a heart after God, writing this stuff. How long do I wrestle? Do any of you wrestle with thoughts and have sleepless nights? Yeah. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts every day? So we know it happens. It does happen. How many of you, I've asked the question. In Romans chapter 7, Paul writes, the great apostle Paul, he writes about his wrestling. The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I should do, I don't do. And the things that I'm supposed to do, I don't get to do. And he ends up and he goes, oh, you wretched man. And he's the great Apostle Paul. And then we want to read Romans, part of Romans 8. But I suggest go home and read Romans 7, read Paul's struggle. So this is what I call the cleanse remedy. It's not a formula, just so we're clear. It's just going to put some words to it. So let's read Romans 8, chapter 5. Those who live according, this is from the NIV, according to the sinful nature, have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. What did he mean by that? Okay, he means that the mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Who wants death? Who wants life and peace? We're talking eternity, of course, because we know there's going to come a day that this outer shell is frail, and but the Spirit man lives on, etc. Then he goes on to verse 12. From 6, jump down to verse 12. Therefore, brothers, therefore, my family, therefore, my family, we have an obligation. There is something we can. No, we're all in grace. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Wrong answer. We have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. I don't want to do that. I want to live forever, eternity with God, with Jesus in heaven. I've got a whole bunch of questions I want to ask. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. If you cleanse yourself, we have an obligation to live by the Spirit. Think on things that are above, not on below. Think about the things that will take us into the supernatural realm. Because you've heard me say, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience on this earth. And that's why one day this decaying piece of flesh here is going to die and dust to dust and ashes to ashes and all that kind of stuff. But my spirit man will be alive and living with Jesus. Amen. The point is, if you think the wrong things about things of the flesh, it's death to you. When we place our mind and our soul and our body and spirit above the things of God, it is hostility towards God. It says so in about verse 8 of that. Go and read 8, 5 to 13. Cleanse our minds, we must think of spiritual things. Think of things above. Controlled by the flesh will bring death. It ends with, put to death the deeds of the body you live in. Cleanse yourself. Get rid of. Eradicate. Stop. Say no. So the question is, how do we cleanse our spirit? So now I'm going to use a word that most of you can. We fast. For the Canadians, we fast. Or starve yourselves. The things that defile us, we fast on the things that defile us and feed ourselves on the things that nourish us. It's not like rocket science. Now, this is deep theology. As I said, fasting, and everyone said, oh, yay, I can't wait to fast. I can't wait to go without my lunch today. Yeah, fasting is probably not the greatest thing you can do. I love it. Jesus says, when you fast. He doesn't say if you fast. When you fast, often, if you've never fasted, it's a great opportunity for you over the next couple of weeks. How great you feel after you've been fasted. So spiritually, I remember I remember when we fasted, you go, you know, you're just like, the body's feeling weak, but the spirit, man, is so alive. Eh? I'm so in tune to what God is saying. I feel like, it means we have to get rid of and eradicate stuff. We have to starve ourselves of stuff. But when you starve yourself of stuff, you have to fill the gap. Oh, Lord Jesus, please take away this desire that I have. No, I'm going to keep it, Lord. Because that's how we pray. Take this away from me, Lord. And we're going to do it again. Take it away from me, Lord. The point is, when he takes away, we have to fill that vacuum with something else. It means we need to starve it and feed it. You need to starve your spirit and then feed your spirit. So what do we starve our spirit from? Again, this is really deep. Number one, doubt. Some of you haven't even realized how pervaded your mind has become with doubt in your spirit man. Doubt is when we move away from God's reality to earth's reality. When we believe more in what the world thinks than what God thinks. When we have little or no faith for the supernatural, the miracles, the signs and wonders. We have forgotten but God. Somebody prophesied last week, the suddenlies of God. We need to get back to but God. This doesn't look like it's right, but God. We know that God's going to step in. I'm not saying let's live in denial about all the nonsense that's going around us, because we actually do know there's a whole lot of nonsense going around us. But that's living in a fallen world. That's the part that we separate ourselves from. I'm not saying we do the denial thing, but what I'm saying is that we get into God's reality, God's will and God's purpose and what He wants to do. So here's cleanse remedy number one. I will trust what God says. I will trust what God says. We have the divine relationship. God says that people will get healed. I believe that. Am I healed? No, not of everything. There's things that I have got healed of, but I'm still not healed of everything. Do I believe God will heal? Do I want you to pray for me? Absolutely. Well, no, someone's prayed for me 7 times already and I didn't get healed, so just stop it. No, let's keep persevering and keep going into it. Let's keep praying. God heals, He recovers marriages, He situations from disaster to greatness. When the atmosphere of heaven breaks in, we see addicted parents and addicted children freed miraculously. You know, we always talk about the addicted teenagers, but there are a lot of addicted parents as well. And so let's get the whole thing. Get in tune with God and be cleansed of doubt. Stop doubting. I saw a meeting once with Rodney Howard Brown. And there was a person sitting like where James is sitting there now. And he said, you sir, and he called it. He's like, you've got something wrong with you. Come to the front and God's going to heal you. And the guy was like, you sir? Yeah, okay. He said, sir, sit down. Your faith, you have nothing. God wants to heal you, but you are dallying it. You're already thinking, will this happen, won't that happen? Will this happen, won't that happen? We got to get rid of it. Our own, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Your reasoning and your intellect, I don't care how smart you are below God's supernatural reasoning and God's intellect. And so we have to just step in it. If you get out of the boat and are willing to walk on, even if you're not willing to get your feet wet, get your feet wet. The second thing we need to get rid of is negativity. Too often, we open our mouths and we reveal our heart. Declarations of negativity. Oh, it's too hot. It's too cold. It's too much little rain. Too much rain. Too little snow. Too much snow. Too little snow I'm happy about. I'm tired. I'm sick. We are pulling that stuff on top of ourselves. Negativity will pollute your spirit. Your get up and go has get up and gone. And what we want today is a great opportunity to get filled with His Spirit again. Say, I'm not going to speak negatively. I'm not going to think negatively. I'm not going to say anything bad or that's negative. The cleanse remedy for that is I will think what God thinks. I will think what God thinks. Do you know what God thinks? God thinks you are the apple of His eye. You are His creation. I'm made in His image. That's what God thinks about me. I'm valuable. You are valuable to Him. He has given me dominion over all. Go to the book of beginnings and we can see the Genesis. He knows your every thought. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because He trusts in you. Get our thinking right. Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. When it starts to wander, change and go, okay, stop, Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on what He's doing. Keep our mind on Him. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's from New Living Testament. Cleanse remedy 3, I will say what God says. God never says anything negative about you or about your neighbor or your friend or your husband or your wife or your children. It's always uplifting, encouraging, positive, because he loves us, because he wants to be our Father. What does God say about you? What does he say about your circumstances? He says, I am healed and whole. I'm sons and daughters. I'm the righteousness of God. And if we really want to get into it, I'm above and not below. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm truly a royal priesthood. We got to self-talk ourselves on. When you're feeling that negativity and that doubt coming on, you got to do some self-talk. Because, this is what God says. We had a situation this weekend. We went and chatted to a couple. Man, they just asked a simple question, and my brain went. I was doing the David thing. I was wrestling with my thoughts. I was anxious. I was like, I'm praising and worshiping God. I'm above and not below. I'm stressed out of my brain. I'm thinking. All the wrong thoughts are in my head. They just wanted to ask a few questions. We got to learn, train ourselves, which means I'm not properly trained. I'm just being transparent with you. So sometimes we just got to go, okay, well, Lord, whatever your will is, Lord. Cleanse ourselves from anything negative. Say what God says about you and what your circumstances. Number three, the big one, sin. Starve ourselves of doubt. Starve our spirit of negativity. Starve our spirit of sin. Well, what is sin? Well, it's anything that pollutes our spirit man. What does the word sin mean? It means to miss the mark. Oh, does he know what I've sinned and what I've done? No, Lord does. Often when we sin, then we do what I just did, and then we get into guilt and shame, and then we wrap it all up in guilt and shame, and we walk, and then we don't come to church, and then, oh, my life's messed up, and I don't know what's going on, and I'm just going to stay at home all by myself, and I'm going to fix it. Well, how'd that work for you? Freedom session. Yeah, there we go. It doesn't work for you, because you can't fix you. Only God can fix you. Holy Spirit can fix you. You just got to be willing to be all in. There we go. Means that miss the mark. If I miss the mark, means I'm aiming at the wrong thing. That's all it means. And what is our response? Don't get into condemnation and don't get into guilt. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Yes. Did you mess up? Yes. Don't get into condemnation. Here's the remedy for you. Repent. Lord, I'm sorry. If you sinned against somebody, go to them and repent and say, I'm sorry. I gossiped about you. I did this thing. I said this behind your back. Go and say, I'm sorry. Then re-aim and hit the mark. That's all it means. Repentance. Turn around, re-aim and hit the mark. Bang, we're good. Our response is to do that. How many of you, don't put your hands up, feel that you've missed the mark in the last 10 days? Today, right now, is an opportunity to repent about that and of that and re-aim and go, man, I missed it, but I'm trying again. Cleanse remedy number four. I will turn to what God wants. Each one of you right now, as you're sitting, Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And you know what it is. I have to trot out the list for you. What's Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Man, that's a freeing scripture. I think so anyway. Give yourself completely to God for 2019. So now, I spoke about fasting. So now, I'm going to ask us, as a church, 6 days each time. So today we start our 6 days. Starve yourself of doubt and negativity and sin. Reprogram your man spirit to God's reality. Remember I said empty yourself so that you can fill yourself. We want to empty ourselves, starve ourselves, so we can feed and nourish ourselves. What we feed ourselves, though, of course, is vitally important. Ask any nutritionist. What brings doubt or negativity and leads to sin? Starve yourselves of those things. I don't know. Some of you might be addicted to the news. And when you read the news, like me, you go, oh, gee, that sucks. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, wow. Oh, it's negative. Oh, man, what? I don't understand how people cross streets downtown Toronto. They're forever getting knocked over. I'm like, it's sad. I mean, it brings negativity. So for me, I'm going to go, yeah, I'm not going to watch the news for the next 6 days. I'm not going to pay attention to that because it brings negativity into my life. Whatever it is for you, you decide. Facebook, Instagram, all that. You quote Facebook more than you quote Jesus. So the next thing is feed your spirit. So there's three things we want to feed our spirit and nourish our spirit on. Number one, of course, is always God's word. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. I don't want anything to do with you while you're talking negatively. I don't want anything to do with you. So sometimes people who are negative are what I call VDPs or VNPs. Very draining people, very negative people. Do yourself a favor, take a sabbatical from negative and draining people. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Then you see up there on the screen, I've got I will. You decide. You will what? Well, just some thoughts. I'll read a psalm a day. I will read three chapters of the Bible a day. I will read a proverb. You know, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's 31 days in the month. Read a chapter a day. If you're on wisdom literature, there you go. Daily Bible reading plan. If you aren't aware, let me tell you now. On our website is a daily reading Bible plan. You go to our website and click on the daily read, and the daily reader will pop up, and you can read it online. You don't have to go anywhere. You got it there. Shut out the negative voices and feed myself on the positive. The second thing, of course, is worship. Philippians 4:18. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Should I practice worship? Yeah. Do yourself a favor. Find a couple of songs that inspire you, that feed you. There's this current song that's inspiring me and feed me, and sometime we're going to do it, right, Jess? Next Sunday. And it feeds me. It inspires me. You know, when I was ill in bed, I Desire Jesus, Hillsong. I put that thing on a loop. I put my headphones in. I lay in bed and just listen to this thing for hours. It fed my soul. It inspired me. So I will, whatever you want to do, I will worship 3 times a day. I will worship 15 minutes a day. I will worship 10 minutes a day. Whatever is good for you. Be intentional, listen to somewhere. If you got an instrument, play your instrument, worship. I love to sometimes just take my guitar. Yeah, some of you don't even know that. Sit down and play my guitar. Of course, I shut the study, and me and God. Last one, prayer. Feed your spirit with prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, this is reading from the message, my God-defined people, respond by humbling themselves, pray, seek my presence, and turn their backs on their wicked lives, on all this stuff that we don't want around us, I will be there ready for you. I love it. I just sort of see God standing anticipating. Okay, you're full of pride. Well, you're going to humble yourself. Yeah, okay, all right. Will you seek me? Yeah, okay, all right, here I am. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. I will, what will you do? Starve yourself, feed yourself. Last slide. I will trust what God says. I will think what God says. I will say what God says. I will turn to what God says. Through His word, His worship, His prayer.